Well, thank you, Bob, for the privilege getting to teach in two times in 1 week. That's really a wonderful privilege. And tonight I'm excited about a topic that I was sort of prompted about last Thursday when Ron Booz was teaching about loving one another. And it started me looking at all the uses of one another. And there are so many things that we are encouraged to do, even besides love. Love, of course, is the biggest one. But some of them are to forgive, to serve, exhort one another, comfort one another, encourage one another, admonish, teach, forbear, and submit to. Those are just some. And then, of course, in Sal's song, he was talking about be kind one to another. And this is how the world will see Christ in you. We could do teachings on each one of these different one another's, and that might be fun one day. We could do it. But what really stuck out to me is Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. So we're going to take a pretty in-depth look at this verse. And first I'll read it from the King James, because that's familiar to a lot of you. And then I'll read it from the Aramaic translation. So it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. That's also a line from Sal's song about in honor prefer one another. And the Aramaic says, be compassionate to your brothers and love one another. Prefer one another in honor. So we're going to look at each one of these words in this verse from both the Greek and Aramaic, and then after that we're going to look at briefly at the context and then a place where it was used before. The first phrase that really stuck out to me was one another, so I wanted to look at that first. In Greek, it could mean mutually and or each other. But I like the Aramaic because it's very specifically a phrase that says one to one or one with one. So the point is that we do this preferring one another or in honor prefer one another. We do it one at a time. We love one another one at a time. We're compassionate to one another one at a time. Now, certainly we can have a larger group that we're loving, but really even in the larger group, there's often just individual opportunities where we get to one-to-one do something to mutually encourage one another. So that's the first point. Then if you look at the phrase in King James, be kindly affectioned, that is a really interesting word. It's pronounced philostorgos, and you can hear the word phileo in there. And phileo is a kind of love, but this word is only used in this verse, and it means to love tenderly, like a parent with a child, or in an immediate family, there's a tenderness of care that happens in an immediate family. And that's what it's talking about, be kindly affectioned. Love each other tenderly. And the Aramaic word, it means to be compassionate. And it's an absolutely a command here. Like, be compassionate. Be compassionate. you could emphasize it in different ways to just kind of get the idea of compassion is something that Jesus exemplified all the whole time during his ministry. There were so many times where it says that he had compassion on the people. So the next word is brotherly love. And that's where we get the name of the city in Pennsylvania called Philadelphia. In Greek, it just means a brotherly kindness. And so it has this idea of tenderness and kindness. But I also like the Aramaic word here, too, because it's the common word for love, not just phileo love, but the kind of deep love like agape. And the action behind the Aramaic word for love is to kindle like a fire. So when we love someone, when we truly love them, whether it's with brotherly kindness or tenderness or just the love of God, it kindles something inside a person where they're not, it's not just a, well, you might call it like a warm, fuzzy feeling of somebody says, oh, I'm in love with you. You know, that's not the kind of love it is. It's a deep fire inside that longs to be expressed somehow. So that's where we get to the in honor preferring one another. So I'm going to look at preferring first. The word preferring is pronounced pro-eg-a-o-mai, pro-eg-a-o-mai, and it means to go before and show the way. In other words, take the lead in showing honor. And the Aramaic has basically the same idea. You could translate it as to anticipate or take the initiative. If we prefer one another, it's not only that we're putting them before ourselves, but we actually take the initiative to prefer someone else before we desire to have honor given to ourselves. So we don't wait for someone to prefer us, but we take the initiative. We anticipate one another. So now this word honor is the really rich word in this verse. And the Greek word is timē, and it's an honor which belongs to a person. Sometimes it's also translated the actual price itself, but it could also be the value of the price. And in Aramaic, the word honor, the verb action behind that is to be heavy. You remember back, well, some of you might not remember back, but I remember back in the 60s and 70s, you know, you have a phrase like, oh, man, that's heavy, meaning that's really something. And when something is heavy or has weight, then in the Eastern way of thinking, it has value. So honor could also be translated value. Now let's just take a look at the context of this verse in Romans 12. We're not going to read the whole context, but verses 1 to 3, you know, are about the renewed mind and being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you go down to verse 6 to 8. It's all about the different functions in the body. So what I want to read, the two verses that are surrounding this verse 10. So we'll start in 9. And this time I'll just read the ESV. It says, let love be genuine. Abhor that which is evil, or what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. The King James says to let love be without dissimulation, which is not a word that we normally throw around. So what is dissimulation? It means to be without disguise. In other words, honor needs to be genuine and honest. Like if you give a compliment to someone, but you're not really genuine about it, you're not sincere, and you're not being honest either, like, oh, I think that dress is so beautiful, and you really don't think so, then it comes across as a disguise. So it says, let's let our love be genuine and really tell people something that is true that will also be a blessing for them. Now jump down to verse 11. It says, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. So honor has to be honest, but it also has to be in the context of serving the Lord. In other words, not serving people. And also not for a personal gain. Like sometimes someone will, you know, give a compliment or try to ingratiate themselves with someone else for their own purposes or for their own gain. And that's what it says we should not do, but we should be serving the Lord. So being honest and serving the Lord and doing it with fervency, that's what surrounds this be compassionate to your brothers and love one another and prefer one another and honor. Now, here's a verse where honor is used in a little bit different context. It's 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 24, but I think this verse actually shows some really wonderful things about what honor is. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. This whole section in 1 Corinthians 12 is about the body and how it works together. And this word tempered is really great because it means to be mixed together, like the parts of the body are mixed together. There's different kinds of cells in the tissue and then different kinds of tissue in an organ. Even just something as simple as the skin has all different parts in it. But God tempered the body. He mixed it together exactly how he knew it was supposed to work. And he also actually gave more abundant honor to the part that lacked. And another translation of that would be the part that is least. So what is the part that is least in the body? Perhaps a child? We don't think, well, children can't really do anything too much, but that's not true. Sometimes out of the mouth of babes is the most profound wisdom there is. How about considering a new believer to be least in the body of Christ? But God is it that he has given more abundant honor to the part that's least. So which is most important in the body? Like, for example, are the red blood cells more important than the bones? Is the eye more important than the ear? That's in that whole section there. And the eye can't say to the ear, or the ear can't say to the eye, I don't have any need of you, because there are times where we need hearing and there's times where we need seeing. And the real point about it is that they need to work together. Sometimes you hear something that confirms what you see. And that's how the physical body works, but that's also how the spiritual body works. So it's the same idea as the honor that we would give to the eye, for example. We should also be giving to the white cell that's fighting off some infection that you really can't see. So the question is not which is more important in the body or who is more important. The question is or should be, what is the function that's needed? If you need to fight off an infection, then you need those white cells. They need to be there in abundance, too. Another question could be, how can the parts work together? So is exhorting better than teaching? Or is pastoring better than witnessing? Or is an elder better than the newest believer? No, none of those are better than either one. But what is needed at the time? And then the honor would be to provide that need if that's what you're called to do at that moment. And to prefer to be the one sort of be the first to get to the finish line and say, I'll do it. I'll be helpful. I'll be kind. I'll be loving. I'll be compassionate, because that's what's needed right now. And it doesn't matter whether you're a minister or you're a regular believer or you're a child or anything about your category or even how you function. It's that if you are good at functioning at something, then get busy functioning at it, because that's a way that you can honor other people, is to give of the things which God has blessed you with. So that reminded me of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. As I was thinking about Jesus, how he washed his disciples' feet to portray to them about how to be a servant right before the crucifixion, he washed his disciples' feet, which was the job of a servant. So Philippians 2, verse 3 says, this is the ESV also, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. See, be the first one to, in honor, prefer one another. Anticipate what it would be that someone needs. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Doesn't mean that you don't have to take care of yourself or your immediate family or the things that you're responsible for, but it's look not only to your own interests, but look to the interests of others and say, what can I do, Father? Where can I go? Like Paula was describing, you see a person who has a need, it's like, what can I do? Can I pray for them? Can I speak to them? Can I tell them God loves them? There's so many things. But verse 5 really sums it up. Say, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Have the mind of Christ, because he is the greatest example of someone who lived this lifestyle of in honor preferring one another and being compassionate. So let's just put this all together here. You hold one another as a precious part of your immediate family, and don't wait for someone else to honor you. You prefer the other person first. Then consider that God has tempered or mixed the body together, and no function is more important than another. So the value that we give to others will help to promote the unity of the whole body. And this in turn then will give glory to God and to the head of the body, our Lord Jesus. So think about this. What is there to honor about one of your brothers, even tonight, as you get ready to go to sleep tonight? Just think about what you could do to honor someone. I love the line in Sal's song about pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. Let's think about what we could do. Let's give a compliment, acknowledge someone's service, or I don't know, maybe you have to think about what you could do to honor someone. If not tonight, then this week. So I'm going to close with a word of prayer here. Father, thank you for how you are actually also the one who is our great example of loving and how we can love one another. The love that you've poured into our hearts is so special. And so, Father, can we just teach us more about how to live in that love and to honor and prefer one another and to do it one at a time, one person after another, and just be the one to be the first one to do that. I thank you for tonight and for blessing each person on the telephone line and that will hear this sharing, and that you will just work in our hearts, Father, to understand this even more today than we did yesterday. So I thank you for your kindness and your tenderness to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.